And good morning, everybody. Welcome back to HoopsHD.com's Championship Week Video Notebook, Day 6. Wow. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by David Griggs, and down there we got John Stalik.
John must have fallen asleep. And it's real unfortunate, too, because what was it, 277? And we're going to spend 5 to 10 minutes on all 277 teams tonight. Here we go.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe not quite that much. But this is our Championship Week video notebook, where we go ahead and we go over some news and notes about items that occurred outside of conference tournaments. We review and preview conference tournament games from today and from Saturday and what's coming up on Sunday. We will update our survival board. And we always start out, though, with our newest feature, our mailbag.
Dave. Oh, not the damn mailbag. John's not here. What if the questions are for him?
Well, John's not here, but in fact, the first question was from him. It's from Billy from Syracuse, actually. But David, I'm going to let you answer this one. Okay. Billy says that he saw a study on ESPN today that said that of the last 100 single-bid conference tournaments, 63 of them were not won by the regular season champion.
Yeah, I saw this during the OVC. That sounds crazy, but I guess when you figure one team against the field to win it a third of the time sounds about right, I guess. I don't know, but it didn't seem – that seems off.
Well, yeah, but Billy's question is should we go back – should we go to a format where we just give the regular season champion the automatic bid instead of the conference tournament champion?
In my opinion, no. And there are pros and cons to it. One of the cons is there's something seemingly like intrinsically unfair about what happened to Belmont, for instance, where they blew through the league. They're clearly the best team. It's in the conference's best interest to get the best team in. Recently that happened to Murray State, who I think didn't lose a single conference game all year until the championship in that same league. We saw it with Valpo last year, and that is a downside. But all in all, I think that the automatic bid is just one of the ways into the
He woke up!
Good morning, John! Oh, maybe. Boy!
I don't know if we have a video for him, but yes, yeah. Welcome. Blank screen, that is John Stalika. Maybe we'll get a picture here soon.
The reason I like it is because there's two ways into the field, and as you know, there's the automatic bid and the at-large bid, and there isn't anything predetermining that these are one-bid leagues. And we've seen it out of the Ohio Valley before. Murray State was a 6 seed 1 year. Belmont was 11, two lines above the first four that year. We've seen Middle Tennessee get an at-large bid. We've seen South Alabama get it. Gonzaga, Wichita State. So it isn't a foregone conclusion that they're going to be one-bid leagues. And if you want to protect yourself from that, play your way into the top 40.
And we were trying to get John on. We do have John on, in fact. John, good morning. We thought that you had fallen asleep on us. So I was letting David answer all the mailbag questions this evening. But welcome aboard.
No, I was yelling at my TV screen because of the Valpo and the Milwaukee game.
Well, yelling at your TV screen normally is very effective in changing results, so yeah. I definitely recommend it. But I do have one more mailbag question, and David, I was going to ask this one to you, and it may not make any sense to ask it to John, but maybe we could try that. I don't know. It comes from Alan from Nashville. He wants to know, why is it that you are always drinking such cheap Evan Williams bourbon? How about getting some good stuff?
It's in glass. It's the cheapest thing in glass.
He also
that's what you got to drink.
Follows up and says, David, do you have a top three bourbon brands out there? Well, that's a tough one.
Well, yeah, because see, there's Evan Williams Dark, and then Evan Williams.
Okay.
Like the regular.
So, Alan, David's theory is that the best bourbon is the cheapest one, I believe.
In glass.
Cheapest. Wouldn't that be Evan Fields?
Evan Fields, yes.
Let's head to a little bit of news and notes. And actually, we could do a ton of news and notes tonight if we wanted to. I'll try to go through this pretty quickly. This was the last huge day of regular season action. A few games left in the American and the Big Ten tomorrow. But maybe I'll run through real quickly, almost like a mini Hoops HD report here. Big result out of the ACC. The biggest results, actually, were Wake coming up with a huge road win at Vautech. Syracuse knocking off Georgia Tech, and North Carolina obviously beating Duke.
Yeah.
David, is it any of those results, or maybe like a game like Florida State beating Miami or Louisville beating Notre Dame today, have any major impact for you on what we're doing here?
Yes. Well, Wake winning on the road, it was huge because it was a road win against the tournament caliber team, and it followed up their home win at Louisville. Championship week, and by now, I think for the most part, 80% of the teams are who they are, and you're talking about either beating teams that are behind you or beating teams that you've already beaten, or if you get into the conference tournament, even if you don't win, I don't think it dings you too badly if you're on that first ballot or locked in because you're losing to someone that you've already beaten, so how bad does it set you back? But Wake Forest this past week is doing things that they haven't done all season, and they're going to have the opportunity to continue to build upon that. So I think that one was the biggest. Like Louisville's win over Notre Dame, not so much. They already have those kinds of wins on their profile. Syracuse over Georgia Tech, I mean, granted, given how bad Georgia Tech is on the road, I hope that doesn't mean too much. But at this point, aren't you kind of who you are by now?
Now, it also gets Wake Forest up to 500 in conference play. Now, granted, you have to be a little extra careful with a team like Wake because they play more of an unbalanced schedule.
Mm-hmm. Let's go quickly through a few other notable games. In the Big East, Xavier finally picked up a win, beating DePaul, broke that losing streak. Marquette with a nice win over Creighton, and Seton Hall on the road at Butler in a game that I think locked them into a tournament spot. John, you agree there?
It does, and it also created a four-way tie for third.
Right. Over in the Big Ten, Maryland held off Michigan State, and Illinois, who we were starting to project into the field, went down at Rutgers. Enjoy the NIT, correct?
Yes, I think so.
In the Big 12, obviously the big game was Kansas picking up the huge win at Oklahoma State, just another huge win, another cementing themselves right at the top of the bracket, potentially number one overall.
I think they could miss the bus to the tournament and get a number one.
In the SEC, we saw an upset with Ole Miss knocking off South Carolina and Vanderbilt with the huge home win over Florida, and Vanderbilt, a shot here. If they lose in the SEC tournament, they're going to have 15 losses. They have a real good shot here to be the first ever 15-loss team to get an at-large bid, though. I'm starting to get closer to the bandwagon, but they've got to do a little bit of something in the SEC tournament still.
Well, having a sweep of Florida in their back pocket helps.
Yeah, I agree that they can't go out to a non-tournament team, and if anything, I think they have to beat And Arkansas, South Carolina. I actually haven't seen how the bracket's laid out, but they can't get out there and lose their first game to a non-tournament team.
They're actually starting with Texas A&M, so that is
they can't lose that one.
Yeah, they got to win that one.
Yeah.
Pac-12. Cal went down at Colorado, 0-2 on this road trip that we said they had to go 2-0 on. They're pretty much toast at this point, too, aren't they?
Yes.
They definitely have to at least get to the championship game in the Pac-12 now.
And even that may not be enough, although getting there would mean knocking off at least one of the heavyweights. So,
a few news and notes from some of the smaller, from the under-the-radar conferences, where we saw North Dakota ended up clinching the Big Sky Championship. UC Irvine completely demolished UC Davis in a game that decided the Big West title tonight. And speaking about the Big West, we do need to apologize. Last night we got some hashtag fake news about
fake news.
Northridge. They are eligible for the NCAA tournament this year. Their one-year postseason ban was the one that they self-imposed last season. So they are eligible. They are eligible to play in the Big West tournament. UC Santa Barbara back off of the survival board. They are not going to qualify for it.
But relax, Hawaii. You're still alive.
Hawaii is still alive. Nevada beating Colorado State in the one game that decided the Mountain West title game.
Yeah.
Upset in the Atlantic 10, John, where George Washington knocked off Dayton tonight.
Yeah, this is where GW actually got off to a fast start, but the upset that almost happened was going to be Davidson over Rhode Island, but the Rams survived to play another day.
Another huge upset in the Sun Belt, David. Texas Arlington losing at Louisiana Lafayette.
And I think Lafayette had been very strong at home this year. I believe they were 11-3. Somebody fact.
I believe that they have four losses at home and that they are sub 500 against the top 200 at home. So I don't agree with you that they're very strong at home for a team that's won 20 games to have lost five games at home is about average.
Well, I got a lot of numbers in my head right now. I don't know. That's why I said look that up for me. But
I did look it up.
but not a good loss. And I really felt like had they won this one, they would have had a really, really strong case, at least if they gotten out of the quarters. Looking more and more like they're going to have to win the conference tournament. You could argue for them if you really had to, but their chances of getting in at large without winning the conference tournament are probably less than 50%. But I will say this, their ceiling is high, and if they are in the NCAA tournament, I think that they can do more than just be there.
A couple other notes here. We saw Central Arkansas ended up squeezing out the final spot in the Southland tournament following some crazy tiebreakers. Mississippi Valley State got the final spot in the SWAC. We saw Penn gets the final spot in the Ivy League with a huge home win over Harvard tonight, setting up next weekend's Ivy League tournament, the semifinals. They could not have scripted this better. Penn, Princeton, and Harvard versus Yale. How perfect
is
that?
it's virtually perfect, and it's at Princeton. It's at Penn. Right. So good job, Princeton. I wonder how happy
they are. So Central Arkansas got in and not Northwestern State.
That's correct. The tiebreakers went about 30 levels because of the fact that a couple of the other ineligible teams ended up in the tie there. But Northwestern State made a huge run late, did not get in. But that's it for most of the news and notes. However, let's go ahead and turn to conference tournaments. And we did have an automatic bid given out tonight, but we're actually going to start somewhere else.
Before we get
to the first automatic bid, I want to start in one of the very first games of the night here. And I have a rare feature here. I'm actually going to do a little bit of video here if this works. Here it is. This was, no matter what happened to some of these other conferences, including the Horizon League tonight that we're going to get to in a bit, this was the shot of the night, of the day.
Yes, I know where you're going with
And
this.
Here it is. It should be playing right now. This is the end of the St. Francis Wagner game. I don't have sound on this, unfortunately, but you could just watch this shot.
This is at Wagner. St. Francis had some fans here. See if you can identify the St. Francis fan section in this video.
I
thought you were going to say identify the St. Francis team on here based on the uniforms.
Yeah. But again, you've got to look at this. I mean, down to at the buzzer, falling away, just kind of throws it up there, rolls around the cylinder 10 times and drops in. If that is not one of the craziest shots you've ever seen, that's why I wanted to actually start there, even above what happened in the Ohio Valley Conference tonight.
Yes, and what's crazy is that, you know, just prior to that, Wagner hit what we thought was going to be the game-winning shot.
But here it is. St. Francis gets the one-point win at Wagner. Mount St. Mary's kind of rolled over Robert Morris. So I guess it was a little bit closer than that.
It was close.
It was a little bit closer. They pulled away late. Actually, it was close most of the way, and they pulled away late. But John, we got St. Francis at Mount St. Mary's. Last night, Davis in the title game would be Robert Morris at Wagner. I said it would be this one. So we now know who's right, don't we?
That's not what I said. That's
you've
not
been what right I for said. The first two rounds this year. Hashtag real news.
Yep.
That's not what I said. I said that this would be the final.
Yeah, championship game not until Tuesday night, but I'm looking at Mount St. Mary's to go ahead and win this one, though.
Me too.
Now you're going to agree with me, aren't you?
Right.
But let's go to the championship game that was played today, the Ohio Valley Tournament. And David, it wasn't quite the great game that we thought it would be, really.
The game itself was really bad. I think Martin was shooting something like 2.3% from the floor. At least it seemed that way. They just could not put the ball in the hoop. But both of these teams – it was such a good story that these two teams met, because neither of them has much of a history, although this was Tennessee Martin's third consecutive 20-win season after being abysmal prior to that. It's one of those that you liked both stories and you wish both of them could have won, but for the second year in a row, Martin comes up just short, and for the first time ever, Jacksonville State into the NCAA tournament. And I think if depending on how things work out elsewhere, I think they'll be inside the first four.
I know this is actually their 22nd year in Division I play, but they're still a relative newcomer, and therefore this is going to be their first trip to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, more than that, John. Like, I think 19 out of the 22 seasons have been losing seasons, so this is a special year for them, and big congratulations to them and Ray Harper back in the NCAA tournament.
If Ray Harper just finds ways to win these conference tournaments, it is amazing. He kept doing it in Western Kentucky, and here he is doing it in Jacksonville State again, and I would not be shocked if next year if this team finishes fifth or sixth and wins the OVC tournament again.
Right. Don't forget he's also won national titles at Oklahoma City and NAIA.
Right. John, your Xavier Musketeers should sign him to a one-week deal.
Over in the Missouri Valley Conference, also semifinal day, and normally Arch Madness here is one of the best conference tournaments that we have year in and year out. We've got a little noise there. Try to get that cleared up. But Arch Madness is one of the best tournaments year in and year out. This has been just a sleeper of a tournament, though, so far.
Yeah, to give you an idea, this Illinois State Southern Illinois game today, you know how bad it got? I turned it off.
Wichita State, Missouri State was actually closer for a while, but it's still, Missouri State was never really in it. They were just close enough to make a run that they just didn't have the capability to make.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, though, championship game, it's the game that we didn't think would happen, but it was a game everybody wanted. Illinois State, Wichita State, both teams healthy now. Illinois State was shorthanded when Wichita kicked their butts during the regular season. So, John, who do you got in this one?
I've been banging their train all year, and I'm going to stick with Illinois State to win this one.
They've looked real good in their last few games. After really sweating out a lot of games during the regular season, they looked really good in that last game at Northern Iowa, and they have blasted their way through this tournament, so it wouldn't surprise me. I will say this, though, Chad, I think they're both in, regardless of what happens tomorrow.
But it's going to be a real interesting debate, maybe even more so for Illinois State than Wichita State. It's tough because they don't have the tops of the profiles that these other teams have. They don't have the big wins, but their metrics are there for both of these schools. So
as long as Illinois State doesn't get blown out in the title game, I think there is a reasonable path for an at-large here.
I'd agree with that. I think if it is a blowout by Wichita State, that Illinois State, there may be a case that they're out.
Yeah,
I hate to look at scores like that, but I do agree with that statement.
Yeah, and I know the committee changes year to year, but two trends from last year, and I realize this is John Tytel's territory, not mine, were that all but one of the teams, at least around the bubble and pretty much through the whole field, all but one of the teams, and that was Vanderbilt, won an out-of-conference game against someone that was in the field. And by in the field, I mean inside the bubble, not on the 15 and 16 lines. And the other thing they favored was top 50 wins. Neither of these teams really have that. So there is precedent to think that the loser of this will not get in, but I just can't help but think that they're both in.
Well, I think the loser will be sweating next Sunday. I will say that, definitely. They may both get in, but the loser may end up in Dayton. I would not be shocked at all, even if it's Wichita.
Which is where Wichita was last year. And funny enough, the team Wichita beat was Tulsa.
Quarterfinal day today in the Colonial, where form held, the top four seeds all advanced, although actually Charleston had a tough battle with James Madison that really surprised me, David.
Yeah, it was. And you just kept waiting for them to blow it open and kept waiting and waiting, and they never did. And they were actually very fortunate to win this game. In fact, with a minute to go, I think they were behind, and it didn't look like they were going to pull it out.
I think the other running joke is this is the only FCS football power not to actually win today.
James Madison, yeah.
Defending champs.
Towson really cruised over Northeastern, but the other two games were also close as well, even Wilmington against Delaware.
Yeah, Delaware was right in there. And William and Mary, that was another team that, like Elon, that one seesawed back and forth. And I think Elon had a lead for most of the game. I tell you what, I mean, I said that before. This Townsend team really played well down the stretch, and they really look good today. And if you're asking for predictions, I think we're going to see Charleston and Wilmington. But you know what happened the last time Wilmington and Bill and Mary played?
Yes, but Bill and Mary did win at home against Wilmington. I predicted last night that William and Mary would make the finals here and lose there to Charleston. But John, look at these semifinals tomorrow. Do you see either one of these being an upset?
I actually see Townsend possibly upsetting Charleston.
All right. Let's keep rolling here through the SoCon. Also, the quarterfinal day today. And last night, David, you and I both agreed, which we rarely do, that Samford would upset Furman, and we are both geniuses, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so. This is one of the rare things that we actually called correctly. Samford looking really good in both their tournament games. Now, they're really going to get a test tomorrow.
They can't beat East Tennessee State. I know ETSU struggled with Mercer a bit, but no, East Tennessee State's winning this entire thing, so no.
They've played them tough before, I think.
John, Chattanooga, as we all said, did fall to Wofford today. They just this mock seems to fell apart late in the season.
They've been put out of their misery.
And now Wofford getting Greensboro, who really struggled with Citadel today.
Yeah, that was remarkable. I don't know what got into the Citadel, but man,
they gave Greensboro a test. John, do you think Greensboro gets by Wofford tomorrow? Especially if they play the way they did today, I don't think they can.
I still think they do. I mean, Citadel's been playing some inspired basketball of late.
All right. Let's swing over to the West Coast Conference. We thought we would have one close game, which we did, between Santa Clara and San Francisco. And I guess BYU, Loyola Marymount was a little bit closer than I thought it would be. And amazingly, yeah. Gonzaga and Pacific were, it was a two-point game at halftime. It ended up being a 32-point blowout. So I don't know what.
Yeah, Gonzaga played. Gonzaga did not look good, but won by 32.
Portland was actually hanging around with St. Mary's for a while too. But tomorrow's an off day, being Sunday. Monday night we will have the semifinals. John, you want to call the Santa Clara Gonzaga upset?
I do not.
How about the St. Mary's BYU game? Can we see BYU knock off the Gales?
There's a path for them to do that, but I'm still going to pick St. Mary's to win it.
David? As will I. They handled them during the season, both games.
I don't know. It's tough to beat a team three times in the season.
It is. It is.
And BYU definitely has some talent there. Metro Atlantic Day, we saw the second two quarterfinals today with Siena taking care of Fairfield, Iona taking care of Ryder, games that were really not very exciting, quite honestly.
No, they were not. If you missed them, you didn't miss much. But the chalk has held, just like the Horizon. Well, we'll get to that later.
We'll get to the Horizon in a bit. We're in the Metro Atlantic now, where tomorrow we've got semifinals. Monmouth, Siena, Iona, St. Peter's. I really think we're in for a pair of great games tomorrow.
I do too, and Monmouth is really – now, when they played at Siena a couple weeks ago, they won handily. They blew it open in the second half. But when they met at Monmouth just the other week, Siena was right in there. And Siena has been playing it very well down the stretch. You and I both, at the beginning of the season, liked them more than Monmouth and were expecting them to finish first and maybe be flirting with the bubble. They – were disappointing through November, December, and through much of conference play, but they are looking that part now. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they beat Monmouth, which, again, would be a shame considering how good Monmouth has been the last 2 years if they do not make the NCAA tournament, which they won't if they don't win this.
Now, as far as the Hawks go, the health of Micah Seaborn is also going to be a question mark because he had to leave the game in the second half against Niagara.
Yeah, I did not get an update on him today. We'll find out tomorrow, though, with that. John, the Iona-St. Peter's game, I think you had said that you think Iona's going to win this one. Is that right?
Yep, I'm sticking with that.
right.
I agree with that one. I think it's CNN Iona in the
St. Peter's can be a tough team to beat. They play a much slower tempo than anybody else in the conference. They really slow the ball down, and it could, you know, it's a different style of basketball than the rest of the conference plays, and that's why it could be a little tricky. But, you know, this is the third time they've played this year, so Iona should be able to win it if they really are the better team.
Right.
Summit League Day, and
what a great day!
We had the 1-8 and the 2-7 games, and we were not expecting much, but we had an amazing day in the Summit. Actually,
Dave. Yeah, the Leathernecks. I mean, just taking South Dakota to the wall, and the atmosphere at that game was surprisingly intense. I knew it was in South Dakota, but fans out in full force, really, for both games. And then IUPUI just running away from a North Dakota State that crashed about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I was not completely shocked by that IUPUI upset. Western Illinois actually gave North Dakota State a real close game late in the season, so I wasn't that surprised that they played this well. But the top seed advanced, and tomorrow, John, we've got South Dakota State Denver and Nebraska Omaha against Fort Wayne. You seeing anything good in either of those games?
Well, I called it last night, and I think Fort Wayne has a good chance to advance to the semifinals against their downstate neighbors in IUPUI.
We got a great chance for a pair of awesome rivalry games in this.
Yeah, we actually do. It's set up for that, yeah.
Yeah, Fort Wayne and South Dakota State can win. That South Dakota State game will be – that'll be crazy.
That would be something. God, I hope that happens.
That'll be must watch TV Monday night. Yeah. Finally, last but not least, for the games that were played today, the Horizon League, and definitely not. Well, I guess maybe it is least if we look at the seed numbers.
Youngstown and Milwaukee have come close to doubling their win totals on the year in conference in just about the last 27 hours or so.
Let's talk about this Youngstown State win against Oakland, and one of the most amazing, I guess you kind of call it the rope-a-dope play there, is the way that they were describing it, where Cameron Morse, the star player for Youngstown, has the ball with 3 seconds left, down a point, and pretty much every single player at Oakland went to defend him. I think it was 1-on-5, leaving two guys wide open right under the basket, presses it down to Jordan Kaufman, who gets the layup at the buzzer to win the game, with his teammate the only guy standing next to him.
it was just a remarkable breakdown. I guess they thought that he was isolating himself and going up to the shot.
He had over 30 points. He was the clear choice to take the shot, but...
Right. But they just didn't defend anybody else. I mean, I don't know if they thought that they had cleared out or what, but as Lee Delvecchio had said, he wasn't even... It was so astounding that we weren't even sure Oakland had all 5 players on the floor. They did, by the way. But just a complete collapse. Yeah, the rope-a-dope, whatever you want to call it, it was... I still don't know what to make of that.
I think you should have asked if Youngstown State was playing with 6 guys like Lafayette did against Western Kentucky a few years back.
Yeah, it still would have worked. I think they could have had 7 guys, and those 2 would have still been wide open all by themselves.
The other game, though, Milwaukee and Valpo, talk about bad basketball. This game was 16-12 Milwaukee at halftime. It's a bad game if one team scores 28 in the first half. Combined, they had 28 points in the first half.
Yeah. Combined, they had 7 points in the first 10 minutes. It was 4-3 Milwaukee.
Yeah, right. Milwaukee did end up pulling out the win over Valpo. Now, Valpo, without Alec Peters, was their first game without him since he went down with a season-ending injury. We're not too shocked that they lost, but I really thought they'd lose the next round. I just didn't think Milwaukee was that good of a team to even be able to beat a shorthanded Valpo team.
At the end of the day, Oakland gets a guaranteed NIT invite out of it.
Yep.
Right. And for the second year in a row, they've had a team that could have either flirted with the bubble or made somebody sweat in the NCAA tournament go down. And you kind of got to wonder, I know it was in Detroit, so advantage Oakland, but wasn't this conference doing it better before?
They were doing it before. And in fact, they moved to the old format where they gave the top 2 seeds byes into the semifinals and played it on the home courts because of a bunch of upsets that happened like this. Back in the days of Butler and the like were in the conference. they move away from it. What happens? Your top two seeds lose in the quarterfinals. You got a 9 and a 10 in the semis.
Right.
Got to go back to the other format, but
right. And this is the difference between a 12 or a 13. That's where we're projecting a lot of these teams for a lot of the years, and a likely 15 or 16.
Right.
Now, where you just won't even be able to compete. Nothing against who's left, but I mean, it wasn't inconceivable to think Oakland or Valpo before the injury, but I guess Oakland would have been able to beat a 4 seed.
But if we're going purely by computer numbers, Northern Kentucky would rate better than Green Bay.
Yeah.
Right. And John, I was going to ask you, we've got these two games tomorrow, the other two quarterfinals. Clearly, Wright State Northern Kentucky game should be a real fun one. But how about UIC? Could they upset Green Bay?
They're a lot improved from last year because they were also a fringe centenary candidate midway through last year. But I still think Green Bay is going to pull that one off.
And I still have NKU winning this tournament. It was my pick before the tournament started, so at least that's still alive.
And beating Wright State a third time is going to be difficult.
Yep, right. That's it for the games that were played today. We do have three other conferences in action tomorrow that we want to get to. We'll begin with the championship game in the Atlantic Sun. Florida at Florida Gulf Coast, 3 o'clock there on ESPN.
It's going to be great atmosphere.
Yeah, this should be a real fun one. Top two teams the last couple of years here in this conference. North Florida had a rough season but bounced back late and made it to the championship game. Can they win at Gulf Coast, David?
They can. I don't think they will, but it wouldn't completely shock me. And let me see. If North Florida does win, and I know I asked this last year and I think the year before, is this it for Matt Driscoll at North Florida?
I'm sorry, but I just saw a highlight of Nevada's coach going shirtless post-game while they were celebrating against Colorado State.
Yes,
we forgot to mention that. Eric Musselman ripped his shirt off and started running around shirt topless when they clinched that, when they won that game over Colorado State to clinch the Mountain West regular season today. But John, let me ask you about the other conference championship game that's coming up tomorrow. That's in the Big South where Campbell will be at Winthrop here. And Campbell, Chris Clemens with the 51 points against Asheville in the first round, then got helped by having to only play Liberty in the semis. Do you think they can do it? Do you think they can win at Winthrop tomorrow?
I think before I get into that, I was also going to mention briefly as far as the Atlantic Sun. I believe the proverb is revenge is a dish best served cold. So I could actually see North Florida winning that one tomorrow.
All right, but I'm not sure about the Atlantic Sun, about the Big South, though. So
I think they're going to need a little more help outside of Clemens to win at Winthrop.
Yeah, David, I don't see it happening. I think Winthrop is going to win this. I think it could be like a 15-point.
Yeah, I mean, they might blow this open.
Especially given that it's at Winthrop's home court, which is where it should be, quite honestly.
Right, yeah, it should be.
Last but not least, tomorrow we do have semifinals. So let me scroll up here. Semifinal day in the Patriot League. Navy at Bucknell, Lehigh
on the roof.
BU. That's the early game. Lehigh at BU. That's the game I'm really circling. That could be one of the best games of the day.
Yeah, it could be. I don't think Bucknell has too much trouble with Navy. Navy's been struggling a little bit down the stretch. Bucknell's at home. They dominated the league. I think Bucknell gets that one. And then, but Boston U, Lehigh could go either way.
Right. John, do you think Navy can pull off the upset?
I don't think Navy pulls it off, but I do think Lehigh and player of the year Tim Kempton is going to crash the party at the roof.
I agree with you. I think Lehigh will be in the championship game against Bucknell, and I think that would be a great championship game.
Yeah, it would be.
One other thing we want to get to tonight is our tournament survival board, and I'm going to pull it up here. This is where we were after last night with 270 CF7 teams remaining. 32 teams had been locked in at that point as in bold. And, David, can you, for people that missed our shows last night and the like, can you tell us what these teams in bold mean and what the teams in italics mean?
Well, the teams in bold for the committee members that are here again, welcome back. We should have welcomed you at the top of the show. Those are teams that the committee will take, or at least those who were telling the committee they should take. I don't think they'll go rogue. They normally don't. But the teams in bold are locked in. And then the bold in all caps, there will be one after that. those are teams with the automatic bids. The italics, it means that you need to consider them. You need to look at them. Maybe you take them, maybe you don't.
And the regular type ones are teams that must win an automatic bid to get in.
Right.
You can see here was the Horizon League heading into today. Eight teams alive there, including teams like Oakland and Valpo. Their only way in was an automatic bid. So by losing, they're going to fall off the list entirely.
Right. So what about Texas Arlington, given their result for tonight?
Yeah, well, they were at italics as a potential. Let's go down here, actually. They were at italics, had the internet as a potential under-consideration team. We did actually discuss them. We are going to leave them in italics for now. Let's see what happens the next week or so. But I think it's next to impossible at this point, but I'm not going to say it's 100% impossible. So.
Right.
Let's go ahead and move up here. 277, see what happened as a result of tonight's games.
Drum
roll, please. Maybe. And there it is. 249 teams. We lost 28 teams today.
And I don't think there's a single day where we lose more than that. So
it's going to be Wednesday or Thursday next week where a lot of teams come off.
Right, right. But if you see here also, we have also moved from 32 teams that were locked in to 35. The reason for that is based on the results today, both Seton Hall and Arkansas, we have determined our locks to make the field. The committee must take them no matter what. So committee members, remember that. And the 35th team was, let's scroll down here to the Ohio Valley Conference, where we have our first bold and all caps team, Jacksonville State. Committee, you must take them as well.
Right. Need to take them.
We could also see over here in the Horizon League, for example, we're now down to six teams as Oakland and Valpo are out. Ivy League, we're down to the four teams that made the Ivy League tournament. And the Missouri Valley, both teams are in italics. So one of these teams tomorrow that loses won't actually come off the board though, David, correct?
Correct. Neither one of them will.
Well, one of them will become bold at all caps though.
Right. Yeah.
And if Illinois State wins, Wichita State will sweat a little. If Wichita wins, Illinois State will sweat a little more.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and pull this down here. Let me run through any other thoughts for the evening. And, John, let me start with you.
I probably should have listened to some of my own advice on Twitter and not operate heavy machinery while watching that Milwaukee and Valpo game.
good one. And David?
My final thought is bad.
Bad. Bad is a good one. I have two quick comments, though. First of all, take a look at the conference tournaments tab. We did get that updated tonight. All the conference tournaments are on there, and you can see all the brackets on there on our website, hoopshd.com. And
we did update. Oh, sorry. I should have said that. We updated the bracket, sort of, on the bracket tab.
Oh yes, the bracket tab. That bracket, our consensus bracket was updated to account for some of the changes in these single bid conferences. And one final note is that Alabama A&M lost their final regular season game today. They will not qualify for the SWAC tournament. As a result, they are in the clubhouse now with a great shot at winning our Centenary Award for the worst team in D1. There may be an argument still for North Carolina A&T. A&T still has a game coming up Monday night in the MEAC tournament, so we'll see what happens with that one. But they are my vote right now is Alabama A&M, but
we're going to Wednesday night when we get our ballots in and we kind of have the trial run of Skype, I think they will be declared almost certainly Alabama A&M will get the centenary.
Yes,
but I think we also have to shout out to Grand Canyon who won their regular season finale at Bakersfield.
They'll
probably get a call to the CIT, but this was definitely a high note to the regular season.
Yeah, they've made three straight CITs. They should be back in one more time in next season into the NCAAs. But on behalf of John Salica and David Griggs, I want to thank you all for joining us. We'll be back again Sunday evening or early Monday morning with another video notebook. And until then, keep watching the games and keep enjoying them.